The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And once again, we're back at 8 a.m. Central Time, Thursday, March 16th, 2023, saying special prayers for RJ and for Marie and for Tyler. These three people have been brought to my attention as needing some help from the Heavenly Father to keep them healthy, to help them recover from procedures, from maladies that have befallen them. And we just thank you, Father, for your loving hands on this situation, that they can recover from every situation that they've been confronted with. And we just lift that situation up. Thank you for their deliverance and their healing in the name of your Son, Yeshua. Amen. Had to get to that, folks. Can I get an amen out there? Say amen. Come on. Thank you. Appreciate that. Here's the thing about, and we brought this up before the top of the hour break. We're talking about less reliance on government. That talks about less reliance as far as electricity, energy consumption, all of this stuff. Gardening, it's one of those things. And if you haven't started doing it, you need to start doing it. And see, we provide you with solutions. That's why we had Marjorie Wildcraft on the show this week to talk to you about the green thumb. Well, you got to start somewhere with the green thumb. You can't just stick your thumb in the ground and all of a sudden something grows up. You got to have something to germinate, which is why we have Mike Knox with White Harvest Seeds, which are back in stock here at the Power Mall. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Man, it's a thrill to be with you this morning, David.
Well, we appreciate you. You know, I know it's kind of early for some, but the thing is I'm including in our email blast for those of you how to start seeds and seed starting basics on our email blast that we send out, because obviously people, you know, they're glued to this because we're always picking up tips and solutions on how to germinate, how to grow. And there's a lot of questions as far as starting seeds. And that's why we provide you with articles to help you out with that. But then again, for those of you who, you know, don't have access to the internet, we have audio portions that you can actually listen to, which is why we've got Mike on the show here, folks. So heirloom seeds, which are at the Power Mall, there's a lot of biblical quality behind all of that. And, of course, we have the Safe Seed Pledge. This is something that White Harvest Seeds does. And because of the fact that they're non-GMO and heirloom, the Safe Seed Pledge, I don't know, I think I'll let you tell our listeners about that, Mike.
Well, I'm not a major expert on that. My daughter was the one that got signed up for that, and she got me turned on to it. But it essentially is saying that the seeds that we carry, we are believers in non-GMO, non-hybrid type things, that our seeds will match that fact that they are just pure seeds, that they're the seeds that God created, the ones that you can grow the seeds for, and again, to keep year after year after year. And so that's essentially what it says in a nutshell, kind of in hillbilly-ese language for me, yeah. Simple. But yeah, that's essentially what it's about. And that's important. Most of the quality seed companies out there will have that in their wording of their websites and stuff, that they're followers of that and they have signed up for that, and we have done that too. So yeah, that's a big part of who we are.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the input on that, Mike, because some seed companies do not have heirloom seeds, or some of them are heirloom, some of them are not heirloom, and there is a difference. Because heirloom seeds, you can regerminate, right?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. And so those of you that are like, regerminate, what's he talking about? Well, it means that you can take that seed when it's done out of the fruit or vegetable that you have in your possession, and you can dry them out and use them again, and they will continue to grow high quality fruits and vegetables. Is that a pretty accurate statement?
Yeah, so be true to type. You know, if you're growing a Rutgers tomato, let's say, you want to get, and you really love a Rutgers tomato, you want that Rutgers tomato to grow again the next year. And that's what you're doing. You're saving the seed, going through the proper steps of doing all that. And so that next year, your seed will be a Rutgers tomato and not be something. That's one thing about hybrids. Hybrids, you can save the seed from a hybrid. But generally, it will not grow the same fruit. It will either be something else. It will revert back to one of its granddaddy crossings, or it will be the plant will be sterile. You'll get a plant, but it will be sterile. It won't produce any fruit. So that's where the heirlooms and the open pollinated come in. That's where the things that you want to keep and you want to grow in your area. And that's another factor that, Dave, that when you grow these seeds in your location, wherever that may be throughout the United States, it assimilates to that, and so it will grow stronger and stronger each year based upon natural thing that God designed.
Well, the other thing, too, is, and I've noticed that there are some people now, and I'm not one of them, I'm not keeping bees. I am not. I'm allergic to bee stings, highly. EpiPen allergic to bees. But the thing is that bees cross-pollinate. And I've noticed that people who are near or have or are messing with bees that have the hives, their crops seem to do very well. I mean, it's something I'm noticing. Even if you're near somebody that's a beekeeper, these bees go out and they cross-pollinate your crops, especially if you're doing raised bed gardening or regular gardening outdoors. And that helps the process along, does it not?
Yeah, you want insects. You want the friendly pollinators. And they don't just have to be bees. They can be butterflies, and there's all kinds of other flying insects and bugs that will do their job. But bees will travel, you know, up to 2 to 3 miles, of my understanding, to gather nectar and to gather pollen. So that's one thing you have to worry about in cross-pollinating when you're trying to save seed for, like, let's say, squash. The bees will hit the flowers, and if you have a neighbor that's growing another variety of squash, and they go over there, they're going to pollinate his flower with pollen from your plant, and then that will cause a cross pollination, and you'll be a fruit that's not true to type. So preventing cross pollination from other vegetables or like vegetables, you know, corn and beans will not cross pollinate, but two types of corns or two types of tomatoes, if it's done, even though they're self-pollinators, you have to worry about that when you're saving seeds. So cross-pollination is something to worry, but you definitely want pollination from the insect world. Now, I mean, if you don't, then your garden's going to just grow plants and not do very well at all.
Oh, well, see, and we can't have that. So yeah, thanks for clarifying that, because I was a little confused about the nature of bees and whether or not it's working, or whether or not it's something. I was wondering, bees, are they that valuable? Because people are saying, we got to protect the bees, we're killing the bees, and, you know, we can't do that. Well, you know, see, now we have this other term called open pollinated, and see, right. I don't want to confuse our audience here. Open pollination is a little bit different of a clarification?
Yeah, it's essentially how God designed all the things back when he created all these plants and stuff. The open pollinated is essentially where the plants will pollinate themselves, or that they get pollinated by the insects and stuff, and they will produce true to type. Like I said, you'll get a Rutgers tomato, or you'll get a Market Moore cucumber. They'll be the same year after year after year if they don't get cross-pollinated with a different cucumber, per se. Whereas heirlooms is kind of the general standard definition, is if it produces true to type for at least 25 years, then it's classified as an heirloom. And all open pollinateds are in the heirloom category, with my understanding. Whereas hybrids, they take different varieties, they'll cross their genes, and so that they'll get something else that maybe has better shelf life or shipability, those type of things, but they cannot produce them by themselves, reproduce themselves.
Wow, that's an interesting point, because, I mean, you want to buy high-quality heirloom seeds, and if you get the hybrid seeds, then it's kind of a crapshoot, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they may grow, and they may grow well, and they may produce even well, but they will not be able to be used for gathering seeds from and then growing them again, so you don't have to buy them again. You can't do that. Hybrids will not produce a true-to-type fruit year after year after year, and if it will produce any fruit at all.
So those of you who are into gardening that want to try to become more self-reliant, like the Amish, that's why I was showing you that book. And you can only get these, and I'm holding this up to the camera right now, Living Without Electricity. Because, see, if we're ever faced with a grid down situation, and this is something that Marjorie Wildcraft talked about on our show this week, we have a website, powerhourfood.com. That's the sort of thing that, you know, we need to be paying attention to. Question from one of our listeners, what plants should we be planting now, Mike?
Well, see, depending on where they live, I know we're in our, here in Missouri, we're doing tomatoes and peppers. We're starting them inside, broccoli and cabbage. Any of your greens, like lettuces, your spinach, they could be planted outside. I've even heard people planting lettuce in, around Valentine's Day, depending on where they're located.
So you're starting seeds indoors. You have the little seed kits, the little seed trays? Okay, now when you do this, are you using potting soil, or are you using raised bed garden soil, in-ground soil? What kind of soil are you using when you start the seeds and you start germinating them?
Man, that's a great question. Too many times people go to the store and just get the potting soil, and what I have found in my experience through the years is that you want to get something more light and loose. And I don't know if raised bed gardening might be too bulky, but you want a soil that will allow the air and water to flow easy when it's in that starting point, and will allow the water to wick up from the bottom after your plants start to sprout. So, yeah, just a light, loose soil mix. I mean, don't use your outside soil. I'll just grab some soil out of the garden because then you're bringing in the weeds and whatever's in the contaminants are in your garden from the year prior. So you want something sterile. You want something fresh each year to when you're starting your plants. And like I said, you want to make it so it's an environment like on a heating pad or a propagation mat is what their fancy word for it, and then have them covered with some type of like a miniature greenhouse box, if you want to call it that, cover, and just keep them with light on them during the day after they sprout. And only after they sprout do the plants need light, and then you turn them off every night because they need to go sleep too. So at nighttime, turn the light off. And usually just a light soil mix with the proper water. Don't overwater. Just keep them, you know, keep it lightly watered. And then when they sprout, let the water come up from the bottom instead of pouring it over the top.
Right. And see, the thing is that we have I basically am doing raised bed gardening, and I built my own raised bed boxes. And the thing with mine, I'm using raised bed garden soil, and I mix it with humus, like compost humus. And I every 10 bags, I throw a bag of humus in. And that soil, I can lift it up in my hands, and it actually falls through my hands. So it's very, very porous. Yeah. And I'm liking it because we've got elephant ears that are just going crazy in that stuff. We thought we were losing them, and all of a sudden, you know, in our greenhouse – all of a sudden, they just exploded. And I mean, they're getting so big, we're going to have to start repotting them. And a rosemary is doing outrageously huge. But they love that in-ground raised bed. I mean, that raised bed garden soil, they love it. So I'm thinking that I might try doing the raised bed garden soil in doing the germinating. That makes sense.
You can, yeah, I think you can if it's kind of a fine, you know, not powdery, but, you know, where, like you said, flow, where it flows through your hands, that would be fine. You don't want anything that when you rip it and you squeeze it, it packs.
This definitely doesn't, yeah. So this is something that, you know, we're having this conversation, folks, and I'm asking a lot of questions that you could be asking, which is maybe why we're not getting phone calls, but the phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. I mean, we're having an honest conversation here about gardening and about seeds and how to germinate them. You have every opportunity, because it's a free toll-free number, to call up and ask questions. That's what works, you know, and it's already sound. Now, Mike, you've mentioned that seeds can last, the heirloom seeds, you can regrow these things like 25 years, which this is wonderful for people that like sustainable gardening. Now, on the seeds when you get the kits, you're basically saying that some of these can last up to 10 years as long as you keep them sealed before they start to lose their viability. Is that right?
Yeah, it's all about storage. It's all and all how you store them in a proper environment. You know, if you stick your seeds and you buy your kit and you stick them in your garage and your garage is going to get cold in the winter and it's going to get hot in the summertime, that's a too much of a temperature fluctuation. So you want something that put them in an area where they're stable, where that temperature stays at a regular, fairly close rate. What I tell folks in all the shows that we've been to is that, you know, you want to keep them above freezing. So ideally is around, you know, 40 degrees and under 75 degrees. And what I tell folks is put them in your refrigerator. Put them in a container, of course, like a Tupperware container, and put them in a glass jar like the old timers did, and stick them in your fridge where they keep that constant temperature. And then when you're ready to take them out and use them in the garden, then make sure you, don't stick them in the direct sunlight in the sense that it's going to be in a, like a 90-degree day. But you want to keep them fairly covered in that sense. And then put them back in that refrigerator later. I have lots of people asking about freezing, and I'm not a proponent of that because actually, when you take them out of the freezer, they're going to start absorbing moisture when you put them in the regular temperature. And when they do that, that kind of may start the process of germination, and you don't want to do that if you don't want to plant all your seeds that day. So you can some plants. Seeds last up to 10 years, tomatoes, cucumbers, those type of things. Things like onions and parsley, those things will not last as long. And most of the things are in that 3 to 5 years, what I tell folks, what they will last easy if you store them properly.
Wonderful. Okay, well, looks like people have questions this morning. Carolyn in Washington, you're on the phone with Mike Knox. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I have tried to start tomatoes in my windowsill, and I understand you can't do it without grow lights. Is that true? Can I do it without grow lights? I don't have any.
Boy, that's a great question. I think it all boils down to what they will tell you, and what I will tell you is that you want to start them in your proper soil mix. You want to put them in an area where they're on a heating mat or a propagation mat, like I mentioned earlier. And then you want once they sprout, only after they sprout, do you need a light above them. I've had many people grow them in a windowsill. My mom is excellent at that. I've tried it, and it doesn't work. And here's why, is that when you put them on a windowsill, there's a draft. The temperature, especially in the times of year in Washington, you're probably in a cooler weather situation this time of year, that the temperatures from the window fluctuate the soil too much. And you want a soil that stays consistent around 70, 75 degrees for tomatoes specifically that will cause them to sprout. If the ground gets too cold, they go into a stunt or they go into a pause mode, if you want to say it that way. And so you want to keep that soil temperature as a key element of keeping it the right temperature. And in the windowsill, you usually don't get that. Even though the sun may be shining on it, it gets too cold at night or in the shady times, if that makes sense.
Well, they usually get so tall they keel over. When they're a couple inches tall, they'll just keel over.
Yeah, well, that's probably a disease called dampening off. And what that happens is when the plants have started growing and they get to that 2-inch stage and you water them from above. Are you pouring the water on the top of the soil?
I've tried both ways, underneath and above.
Yeah, pouring water over the top is usually what causes that. It makes it start. They start rotting right there at the ground level where the plant stem meets the soil. One old timer's tip that I can tell you: sprinkle cinnamon or chamomile at that soil level, because when that cinnamon kills that dampening off fungus disease, and that will help prevent that from even starting. Because whenever you see that mold or white stuff, you're going to lose them. There's no way to bring those plants back after they've fallen over from dampening
I've
off.
I've never seen any mold.
You haven't? Not any little white mold type thing? Well, that's a plus, but it's getting there at the ground level. It's getting into your plant. That's what's causing them to fall over and die. It's called dampening off, and it's just a fungal disease. And try putting that cinnamon powder around your plants, and that should stop it even before they even come up. Put some cinnamon on the soil before they even sprout, and you should have a lot better luck with that. And definitely water them from below.
Mike, is that the same thing as root rot? I mean, is this what Carolyn is talking about, is root rot that's happening below? Because Darlene called the show earlier in the week and said she takes, and we started doing this, instead of using your eggshells in the compost, we put them in a coffee grinder and we ground up our eggshells and we plant that in the soil so that we prevent root rot. Is that along the same lines of what you're talking about?
That's a different disease, and from my opinion, from my knowledge, but calcium is a definite plus. That's like when you have blossom end rot, when your fruit on the vine, and it'd be a black spot come up on the tomato or whatever thing, and it rots from the end of the fruit down. That's caused from a calcium deficiency. And eggshell tea, eggshell powder, calcium, banana peels, whatever, those type of things in your garden and around those plants will provide that calcium that will prevent those type of things. So calcium is a great mineral that most people don't use. And it's also a bug repellent or an insecticide natural. So, yeah, calcium is a definite plus. Eggshells will definitely be a plus in your garden.
Okay, we're good to go. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Do you have any tips for growing decent garlic? I can't get anything bigger than a BB.
You said beets? You said beets?
BB. Garlic. Garlic. The cloves just don't get any bigger than a BB.
Well, it could be your soil is a little light on nutrient. Garlic is one of those things every gardener should be growing some of that in their garden somewhere, or say in the raised bed or wherever they have. The best thing that I've heard on garlic, couple things. A guy, an old timer, told me to plant them in the fall. Plant them after the last frost of the year, and then they'll be ready in the spring. What I also found is that on fertilizer, give them what they call fish emulsion spray, which is just ground up fish oils and stuff. And Neptune's Harvest is a variety that we use, and it's an excellent product. That family, the allium family, onions and leeks and garlic, all those are the same, that they will actually just flourish. So it's probably that you're not getting enough nutrient into the soil, depending on how you're growing them. But you add that to your soil, spray it on a regular basis, about once, twice, every 1 or 2 weeks, and throughout the season, and you'll see results. Yeah, you want your garlic to grow for sure. You want bulbs bigger than BBs, that's for sure. But yeah, try fish emulsion spray and plant them in the fall after the last frost.
There you have it. We appreciate that, Carolyn. Thanks for your call. Bill in Illinois, you're on the phone with Mike Knox. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to that. The root beer thing from the Amish. I know a man who, a good friend of mine, he's passed on now, but he used to always make sassafras tea out of sassafras roots. And I tried some. It tastes just like root beer. Do you know anything about sassafras tea? And I know he used to take the roots and put them in a big pot and boil them for a certain temperature for a long time. But it tastes just like a root beer taste. I just wonder how that goes together with root beer, sassafras tea, and how to make that.
Yeah, it's amazing, too. You know, Bill, I got to interject here because, see, that they actually figured out a way to carbonate. It's a mild carbonation. It's not like regular root beer, like you go in a store and, you know, you stick your cold drink in the iced drink up in a fountain, and all of a sudden all the CO2 comes in. Theirs is kind of like naturally effervescent. I don't know how they do it, but they've got a skill. And this Amish root beer, I mean, I love your thought process here. And sassafras, what do you think, Mike?
Well, I had a neighbor of mine. He's passed on now too, but he gave me a root of sassafras, and he wanted me to try and make it. And so I did some research on that. You have to be careful. You have to be careful with the natural sassafras. It's something from my memory that is kind of vague anymore. But if you don't do it right, it can cause some health problems. It can be, and I don't know if it's poisonous is the right word to use here, but it can have some ill effects on you. So be careful if you're doing it. You make sure you research it really deep and do it correctly. Now, the guy, so be concerned about that, but also it can, it's definitely a way it can be done. And I've never actually done it myself, so I can't give you any experience that I had, just that research that I did, to be careful with it.
I got a friend who lives next to an Amish village, and I'm going to call him up and ask him about it. And, you know, because I asked him about, you know, the pump. Did you say the Amish pump? And he told me he saw them, how they put that in the ground in different sections and tap it in, you know, until water comes out the top. But so I'm going to ask him about sassafras roots, because I believe that friend of mine actually got his roots from an Amish village, and he knew how to do that. He was from Pennsylvania, the old Punxsutawney Phil area, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to find out, and I'll get back to you guys on that.
Sounds like a winner.
That'd be great. Check it out.
Yeah, I appreciate that. See, I always love it when, you know, the audience brings their own material, Mike. You know, we've got, I mean, this is all about solutions, folks. It's about being independent and self-reliant. That's what this is all about. And so, you know, the whole idea, we have these conversations because we are all about solutions here. And that's one of the reasons at the Power Mall that we carry White Harvest seeds, and we have them back in stock now. So, and we have the articles of interest as far as starting seeds goes. And, you know, most of the time you go into the store and you walk by these little greenhouse kits that have the multiple little containers, and you just kind of like, I'll just wait till the weather warms up. Not a good time, not a good thing. I mean, should we be rethinking our thought process here as far as starting seeds and doing it indoors?
Well, let me interject one other thing here, Dave, just before I answer that question. In the seed kits that you're selling that from us, that each kit comes with a little basic booklet. It's like a 10-page booklet that tells you how to start seeds all the way up to saving seeds. And it's kind of an old-timer's tips and all that. That's in that. That comes with your kit free of charge. So I just wanted people to know that if they had questions that they don't get answered today. Now, back to your question on starting things, on the little things look like a half dollar and little trays that you do. I tend to shy away from it. I've done it in the past, but I shy away from it. What I have found is that you want your seeds to start in a container that's at least 2 or 3 inches tall and maybe 2 inches, 2 to 3 inches wide. And that sounds like it's a huge amount, but it allows the root structure to grow strong, big, vibrant. So when you're transplanting those things, then you're just transplanting into a bigger hole in the garden. And what I have found is that the more you transplant from a little container to another container, to another container before it goes out to the house, you take a direct chance of ruining, damaging the tap root. And when you damage the tap root, you could kill your plant, or you're definitely stunting it and causing it to go, hey, you're messing with my, you know, roots. You don't do that.
So you want to just take it out of there one time and put it right in the garden where you're going to grow it.
Exactly. And those compost pots, you know, the manure pots that you can get, they have come a different size. Just put them in that, then, you know, you have to take it out. You just put it in the garden and let it rot itself.
Ah, there you go. All right, wonderful tips. We appreciate that. We are at the bottom of the hour. Coming up to the break, Mike Knox, White Harvest Seeds, available at the Power Mall. We thank you so much for joining us, and lots of great tips out there, folks. All about being self-reliant here. We'll be back at the bottom of the hour after the break. With more news and your phone calls, stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And we're back at 32 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, Thursday, March 16th, the day before St. Patty's Day. Yeah, I can say that here, but if I said that in Ireland, boy, they would slap me around. Yeah, it's St. Patrick's Day over there. It's like sacrilege saying, Pay. You know, they don't like you talking Irish over there. Did you know that? They don't, hey, you're tippity morning to you. They don't say stuff like that over there. They go, you're not from here. You must be a tourist. Yeah. So anyway, no, it's a lot of fun. Ireland is a blast. Loved it every minute of it. Didn't want to come home. As a matter of fact, I got that attached just in 13 days. Amazing how that works. Even though it's socialist, it's really in a sad day. They've got immigration problems like we do. And they don't have housing. They are 180,000 units short. And you want to go over there and do something? I mean, they used to give away, if you came up with 50 grand in cash and attorney's fees, you could actually go over there, get a 5-year visa, and you could actually start a business in Ireland and help people. And you literally, I would get you to take a steel sip business over there because they've already got steel mills and they've already got EPS, expanded polystyrene. You just got to put the ingredients together and get the locals to make the stuff and then show them how to put it up. And you could actually build 180,000 units in very short order and boom the economy, but they canceled that program. You know, it's one of those things that you just kind of scratch your head and go, man, we could help so many people. And I know you want to do it. You want to help your neighbor. And, you know, we're here on this earth to bless people's lives. That's what it's all about. And every day, you know, my wife and I pray for the opportunity to bless other people's lives. to make a difference, because that's what we're here on this earth for, period. And this thing about immigration, you know how this country got started. We had Ellis Island and people came over here and they actually brought good work ethic here. And yes, there were many differences of opinions. But when you bring in all these migrants, the Tucson Sector Border Patrol agents found 14 migrants in an SUV stacked like cordwood near Rio Rico, Arizona. On Wednesday, they arrested the 17-year-old driver in connection with the smuggling incident. This happened last Wednesday, stacked like firewood. Can you imagine that? People stacked on one on top of the other. That's how they got them across the border, and they got pulled over. 14 migrants packed like sardines inside a blue SUV. Yep, they carried out a traffic stop. That's how they found them. All the migrants were wearing camouflage clothing to hide from detection while crossing the border from Mexico. Like, that's going to help. Wow. And 105 million gotaway migrants, all of which have the capability of doing harm to we the people. And the Biden administration, their Mayorkas Dorcas is sitting there going, oh, yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, wait, it's under control. And Border Patrol, in the meantime, is going before Congress, telling Congress, no, it's not fine. DPS is telling people on TV, no, it's not fine. We've got real serious problems. I mean, Fox News showed those 1,000 migrants trying to storm the border. It is not fine. They are lying to you. John in Massachusetts, welcome to the show. How are you?
Dave, yak shamosh.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doing good. Yourself?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, the subject matter you've been talking about this morning has really hit home, so I thought I'd call in.
Okay. How did it hit home?
Growing garlic. I've been growing the same garlic for 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, a solution. Okay. Now you're going to tell me your secret and how you do it, right?
Well, in 2001, I bought 2 pounds of seed garlic, you know, garlic cloves, for $5.
Right.
And
okay.
I turned that $5 into $5,000+, and I'm still growing.
Wow. Now, what's the secret? What's the trick?
Well, there's a lot of them. First thing, when you peel off, you know, you take apart your garlic bulb and you have your garlic cloves.
Right.
Sometimes the skin will peel off the clove. I don't plant those. I only plant the cloves that are fully intact.
Ah, you want the skin, the whole skin on the clove. You don't want to.
Yeah.
So you're separating these things. You take your garlic cloves. Are you talking about garlic that you can buy out of the store, like the elephant garlic?
Well, I wouldn't buy anything out of the store because you don't know if it's going to be heirloom.
Ah, gotcha. So you're trying to find, you scored some heirloom garlic, and you made sure when you took the whole thing apart that the skins were intact.
Yeah, and if the skin comes off on one side or whatever, I won't plant it.
Okay, all right. Good rule of thumb.
Yeah. Another thing is when you plant it, you want to mulch with straw, not hay. And you go about 6 or 8 inches of straw.
Okay.
And like your guest said, you know, feed it with fish emulsion. You'll notice a difference in like 2 days.
Wow. So you start seeing the sprouts come out of the ground in 2 days.
No, you don't. You don't spray them until the sprouts come out of the ground about 6 or 8 inches.
Ah, all right. Then you put the fish emulsion on it after they're about 6 or 8 inches out of the ground. Okay.
Yeah. And on spindly tomatoes, you know, growing in the windowsill, the tomatoes need a lot of light. So you need a grow light. They're not going to grow in a windowsill. So I put them on, you know, just get a 4-foot shop light with 2 grow lights, and I put them on a timer for 18 hours. And then you won't get those spindly plants that'll fall over.
Huh. All right. And see, some people can't afford those things, but now you're telling me the shop lights.
Yeah.
These normally run on fluorescent bulbs, and fluorescent's not good for anybody. So you actually have to get the grow light bulbs that fit in there. But see, here's the thing. You're running these for 18 hours during the germination cycle, right? So you're not actually burning them up in one season. You can make these last for more than just one season.
Well, you don't really burn them up.
Well, I mean, at some point in time, the grow lights, you know, they don't work anymore, right?
Well, they last a long time. They last several seasons.
Oh, all right. Well, that's what I wanted to get to the bottom of, because, see, a person, when they start investing in this stuff, and a lot of our people on fixed income can't afford it, and so they're like, okay. I mean, Carolyn in Washington just brought that up. She says, I really can't afford a grow lamp, and it says, well, if you're trying to grow food, there are certain things that, you know, like Carolyn was asking about the idea about EMP and how we, you know, have EMP shields and how many of these things we got to buy, and it's like, I can't afford to buy six or eight of them like I've got. And it's those things that, you know, you have to learn to work within a budget. And if the grow lamp is the most important thing to you, you've got to have it. So if that's what it takes and you want to grow tomatoes, I personally am not a big tomato fan. I know that people cook them, and my wife is constantly harping at me about cooked tomatoes have a lot of lycopene in them, and that's good for the diet. And I don't mind some of them. I just can't eat a lot of raw tomatoes, and they don't do well. They don't serve me well in my stomach. Probably half my diet, but they contain a lot of acid. And so some people just shy away from it. Some, you know, especially those who, after having spaghetti sauce, all of a sudden they get an upset stomach. So some people just, you know, they acclimate that direction, and some can't. So a lot of it has to do with diet and our health and what we're ingesting. And so, you know, I know that. It's just I've not had a fondness for eating cooked tomatoes. I don't mind eating sliced up on sandwiches. They're great. I like beefsteak tomatoes. I love those. Yeah. Especially when they're fresh and they're cold, and they taste great on a sandwich. Used to have them as a kid.
The best tasting are brandy wines, but and on the garlic, you know, when it's growing, it'll start to grow what they call a scape, which is a garlic flower.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets, you know, maybe like a foot, they'll start to curl around, and you want to clip those off before the flower opens up, because instead of putting energy towards the flower, it'll keep the energy in the bulb. So you want to clip your garlic scapes. And I give them away, you know.
Huh.
Because I grow a couple of hundred garlic bulbs, and I can't use all those scapes.
Wow. So, I mean, now, when you're growing these, are you growing them in a greenhouse? Or, I mean, there's got to be some place that you're growing these things where they're getting sunlight, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I have raised beds. I used to have two. I used to have two 10x20 hoop houses and a bunch of raised beds. I used to sell at the farmer's market, and I had my own farm stand.
Wow. I love it. I love the entrepreneurial spirit. And you're not doing it anymore, obviously. Is it because of age and just getting old and don't want to do it anymore? I mean,
no, it's because I lost my wife.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, and you got to survive. I mean, you're doing it. You did good. I mean, I'm glad you called the show this morning. I really am. God bless you for that.
Well, good. I'm glad. Hey, and one thing, you talk about lately have products flying off the shelf. You may have a poltergeist problem.
A poltergeist? Oh, no. Not a. See, we call them many hoonies in Hawaii and in Ireland. They're called leprechauns.
Okay. Well, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your call. Yeah. Sherry in Kansas, you're back on the phone. What's going on? Something tripped the trigger somewhere.
The gardening deal, I think these, I've heard them called by different names. They're water tunnels or Walla Water was the first brand that I heard that came out. And I think they're a good investment. They allow you to start plants, set out like your, you know, frost-sensitive plants about 6 weeks early a lot of times. But I also use them for, and what they are is that they've taken a piece of plastic.
Oh, you're talking about aquaponics.
No, these things are, they look like little teepees with a lot of water channels. You fill them up with water from the top, and what they do is use a 5 gallon bucket to set them up, and then you pour water about two thirds high on the channel of each water thing. fill out the bucket and they lean towards a teepee and they act like little coal frames.
Hmm.
And because the water, it's a heat sink during the day, and it holds it at night somewhat. But what I do is, like, I start my squash, and, of course, you could do tomatoes, too, and cucumbers early in these things. And I'll put the main plant I'm going to seed I'm going to leave in there, but I'll also put maybe like two more peat pots with seeds in them too, and you just got to keep these wet, and then they, you know, you can pull those out once they get big enough and transplant them somewhere else, but they're a good investment because they do last several seasons as long
okay,
as
now,
you...
People are going to be asking me...
Have you ever seen these?
No, I have not. I'm going to have to make a note of them. And you call them specifically what? Where do you find them on the internet?
Well, the first brand that came out was Wall of Water, but they've been copied and they come by different things. But this time of year, they'll have them at the garden center part of
all
the
right.
store.
Well, I need to go check into it because, see, people are going to be asking the ultimate question, what's it going to cost me out of the gate, Sherry? That's what they're going to want to know. Because
well,
a lot of them, they're on a fixed budget, and they want to know, look, how can I do this? I mean, I'm into raised bed gardening. We've got a greenhouse. We're doing, you know, trying to do everything the right way. We're seeing some really good results by, you know, using compost as a base. And we're looking at, you know, growing rosemary. I mean, everything that we're planting in this raised bed, which has basically your straw and your chicken manure and rabbit poop and all that in the base, and then we put this raised bed garden soil mixed with hummus, basically one or two bags of hummus for 10 bags of the raised bed garden soil, and I mean the plants are just loving it, and we have water them every other day, just give them a light watering in the soil every other day, and they're going crazy.
I've always heard it pronounced humus.
Oh, humus? Yeah, humus. Sorry, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, because hummus is actually something made out of chickpea.
Peas. Yeah, that's right. Humus. Humus. Thanks for that. I appreciate the correction on that.
But,
yeah, we don't want to mispronounce that. People are going, that guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. All right, humus.
These will, as long as you pull them when you don't need them anymore, kind of clean them out and make sure they're dry before you can roll them up and store them somewhere. But I've had them last more than 5 years.
All right, but they last,
and they keep going up because they're made out of plastic.
Okay,
and they're it's better to get the ones that are kind of tinted. If you can find them tinted blue, I think that's the best tint to them. They used to come clear, but now they've got tinted blue or green. So,
those are worth
the investment, I think. So,
all right, sounds like a winner. Appreciate your input on that, John in Colorado. You're on. What's up?
Yeah, the reason the plants fall over in the windowsill when they get tall is there's not enough light. I've done it many times. I did every kind of prepping for, 20 years now, 7 years in this one spot in Colorado, just to get burned down by a meth head, you know,
okay.
Michael Ball, Michelle Huff, who moved to Albuquerque. No prosecution. But the point I want to tell you is the Grand Junction VA was hacked. 157 vets have had all their info compromised, and they've been setting up the cartel accounts in El Paso in the names of vets out of Colorado and funneling all kind of money and dope through there. So just to let you know, 157 vets are compromised. We are ruined here because Joel 232 turned out to be no good. Pray in the name of the Father. I served in 40 years. You get nothing. Burned to the ground and no help. 750 from Red Cross. Ever since June 16, 2021, when I prayed for a helper and a meth head shows up and burns the place down because he couldn't steal two generators. And no help since. 76 years old, freezing to death in a camper that's burned out, dripping on me. But who cares? I know.
Well, and that's, you know, again, I appreciate that. We've had this discussion before. You know, one of the solutions about when you're in a quandary like this And it's not one of these things my dad used to say, like, if you don't like the weather, move, or if you don't like it here, move to Russia. It's really funny. We're having this discussion. We think that things are safer in Russia than they're going to be in the United States. And I'm like, we don't know what to think these days. Here's a big thing, though. You can't just stay in one location and just complain about stuff. The Greek word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. It's faith-based action. And to just sit in one location like Job and beat yourself up and smite yourself and say, I must be a sinner, I must have done something wrong. You know, it's not necessarily your fault. If there are lessons to be learned, those lessons are that if change is necessary in your life, the only way that it is going to change, especially for situations like what we just heard, ladies and gentlemen, you have to make the change. You have to take action. Pistis, Greek-based action, faith-based action. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. That means that if you have to move and get out of the burned out trailer because you're having a hard time, then you have to get up and walk and move until you find something else. You can't just wallow in self-pity and continue on with this tirade in your life. You've got to pray to the Father and get up and do something to change. The only way the door is going to open is if you knock. If you just stand there yelling at the door all day, nothing is going to happen. Bingo. That is the way it is in life. I'm sorry, you know, we've had this conversation before, John, and I'm sorry for the situation. And I'm sorry, you know, you cannot just be a chronic complainer. You got to take action and get out there and do things. We prayed about this before in the name of the Father. And things get added unto you when you reach out and you start to take action and move in a different direction. Obviously, you can't just, this is the definition of insanity again, doing the same thing for the next 10 years you did for the last 10 years, expecting different results. Life does not work like that. You move on. When you are wallowing in the same garbage and listening to the same crap over and over again in your mind, nothing is going to change. You have to take action and move in a different direction, and doors will open. Eddie in Missouri, welcome to the show.
You're talking about the ants in the compost,
right?
Bins.
Not a good thing.
Diatomaceous earth will only kill hard shell bugs. It won't hurt the worms. Only thing, you don't want to fog the dust. You just want to sprinkle it lightly. Don't, you know, just don't fog it. Okay. It's also good to put on firewood to keep the bugs off of firewood.
And now you're talking about firewood that's been burned already or just fresh firewood, like shreds?
Fresh firewood.
Okay, so we're talking,
when you first cut it, you split it and then put some on it, mix it with water and sprinkle it.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps keep the bugs off of it.
Yeah, I do that with aspen shavings too. I wet the aspen shavings and then put them in the compost.
Very good.
All right, sounds good, Eddie. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
All right, I love tips, man. You bet. I love the tips. By the way, we've got some issues on the email blasts that are coming forward now in the health section. We have articles on here about a Mediterranean diet may lower dementia risk by a quarter, according to a promising early study that's out now from Dr. Janice Ranson and others at the University of Exeter. And, you know, we've got a list there as far as the Mediterranean diet, lots of vegetables, fruit, beans, lentils, and nuts, lots of whole grains like whole wheat bread and brown rice, plenty of extra virgin olive oil, EVU, as a source of healthy fat, moderate amount of fish, especially fish rich in omega-3 fatty acids, a moderate amount of cheese and yogurt, little or no meat, choosing poultry instead of red meat, and little or no sweets, sugary drinks, or butter. Well, I don't know. The Irish might argue with you there because that Kerrygold, man, boy, that's some really good stuff. And by the way, did you know that cell phones are 10 times dirtier than toilet seats? Yep, believe it or not. there is a consumer survey in 2021 by BioGuard, a company manufacturing ultraviolet disinfection technology products, found that 73% of over 1,100 respondents, regardless of age or gender, admitted using their mobile phones while on the toilet or standing at a urinal. This increased to 93% for younger people ages 18 to 29, probably because they can't stay off the phone. And so, you know, this is just like the guy, the two guys standing at the urinal, and the one guy gets up and he flushes and starts to walk out the door. And the other guy turns and says, "Hey, didn't your mama ever teach you to wash your hands after you go to the bathroom?" And the other guy says, "Yeah, didn't your mama ever teach you not to piss on your hands?" Boy, you got to love that, right? 10 times more bacteria than most toilet seats, so you better clean your phone cases more often so you keep from getting sick. We got another story on there. We have a plant-based quartz attendant at the Power Mall, far better flu remedy than Tamiflu. So go shop at the Power Mall. We're now open here. It's been fun. Thank you so much for joining us. Didn't get to cover all the news, but at least we got you a little bit smarter on how to be self-reliant. We will be back tomorrow with St. Patrick's Day in our Friday edition, TGIF. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless the United States of America and your ability to survive in it. See you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD, or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with the powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the OregaResp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.